You're listening to KCIM on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM. I'm Nathan Cones, and we've got another special guest, might be taking it too far. Tremendous guest, perhaps. We've got the G-Man himself, Chris Whitaker, and to talk about Merchants Ball. And I know this time of the year, Chris, is always really exciting for you.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks for having me in this morning to talk about the Carroll Merchants. Always exciting to get the season started. You know, it's exciting and it's kind of crazy and hectic all at the same time, but we're looking forward to another year of Merchants baseball, that's for sure.
And so we'll just jump straight to the main point, and that is the season opener is Monday night.
Yep, the season opener, 4 o'clock at historic Merchants Park on Memorial Day, playing the Nevada Griffins, one of our, you know, another longstanding Mink team. We've got those... a 3-game series, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. So 3 nights in a row just to start off the season.
I think Tuesday, Wednesday are 6 o'clock starts, right?
6:30
for those, yeah. And then 4 on Monday. So
correct.
It's something that you and I were talking a little bit before we jumped on the mics. The very first Merchants renovation was one of the first stories I worked on as a news guy in Carroll. And I'll tease him because I know he listens semi-regularly. Barry Bruner was one of the first people I met in Carroll, so really had a rough intro to the community at large. And I'm teasing you, Barry. But that was the Carroll Athletic Association. You played a central part in that. There was guys like John Perrin, Jim Owen. And I'm leaving people out. I don't mean to do that. But that was really, I think, the renaissance of local baseball for Carroll.
Nathan, you're right. You know, and we should all pick on Barry just a little bit because he really does deserve it. But, you know, I remember Barry's like, Chris, we need to work on this baseball stadium. And that's kind of where he left it and then wanders off. And then a week or two later, it's like, no, we really need to do something with the stadium. Let's get the Athletic Association to talk about some renovations and improvements. The field down there has always been first class, top notch, forever. But the stadium, you know, it built in 1949, it just got kind of worn out a little bit, and some quick additions here and there, and just needed some good solid maintenance and some improvements, and that's what we did back in 2016.
And at no point would I ever say the stadium was like bad or gross or anything along those lines, but when I moved to town, it sure looked like it was built in 1949. Let's just phrase it like that. So you got that first initial one done. It was about $1.2 million. And a lot of it was kind of surface level cleaning for it. But man, when that thing got done, I remember going down and getting a first look going, this is something special.
Merchants Park has always been special, probably from the history to the improvements and how they came together with, you know, the city, the county, grants, local support. But, you know, it got a facelift. The old concession stand restroom out front was knocked off and knocked down, removed. It moved the facilities back underneath, repainted, just made the thing pop again on the, you know, in the viewscape of the park area down there, and it looked a lot better. And then we thought, well, okay, what's the next phase? Because there's still some things down there that needed to be done.
And so, what kind of was the onus for that? Is first off, we had a few great years of local high school baseball getting played there. Some things happened at the association and with Iowa Cubs. And then the Iowa High School Athletic Association was like, we need a state baseball venue. And Carroll did not hesitate to chase that spot.
Yeah. One thing great about Carroll, they don't ever hesitate really about anything, I don't believe. And that was an opportunity. The merchants were headed toward the Mink League after being off for 2 years. State baseball was looking at Carroll. It's like, okay, what else needs to be done? So we looked at the new lights, painting the light towers, expanding the press box, new bleachers, ADA accessibility to the bleachers outside, bigger dugouts, which were needed for, you know, larger teams, more equipment, bigger kids in general. And it just, we developed that package. And again, you know, city, county, school support, grants, fundraising, it just all came together.
So. Yeah, and the way state baseball is kind of shaped up is you get 1A, 2A in Carroll, and then 3A, 4A elsewhere.
Yep.
So for a lot of the kids that come to get a play in Carroll that maybe aren't from this side of the state, this might be one of the coolest and most historic stadiums they'll ever play in their entire lives.
Nathan, you're spot on there. I look at this more probably from my experience with the Merchants players. They will walk out there when they first get to town and have their first team meeting, and they're like, whoa, this place is really cool. I mean, it's historic, but the field is always immaculate from years and years of meticulous care. And they're just like, this is probably the coolest place we will play on. It's not turf, it's grass surface. So,
and a lot of those players, if you're not familiar, are basically amateur players, college ball guys coming doing the summer league. I'll make the comparison. Do you remember where Iowa State's baseball team played back in the era of that Iowa State baseball existed?
Yes,
400 years ago.
I was there, Nathan. I was at Iowa State and I watched a couple baseball games down at Cap Tim. But it's not. It wasn't Merchants Park.
It wasn't. And that's the point I'm getting at there. Yeah. That is a Division I school, at least at the time. Division I was the term they used. Major athletic program, and Merchants Park takes the cake easily in the competition between the two. So let's turn to Merchants. So I think a piece that a lot of people just don't get about putting a season together is it takes so much work on the back end from you guys.
Nathan, you are 100% right, and it's a chore. I won't lie, and it's a lot of work. And because we'll get done, say the 1st of August, 2 weeks kind of wrap up, and then we're really done. But about the 1st or middle of September, we're looking to hire a coach for the next season if we don't have a returner, which we at times do and at times don't. Start looking at the next season schedule for the field availability, go have our league meeting in October, November. Coach starts recruiting really then, and we just keep going, And then after the first year, it's like, okay, what's next? Host families, game sponsors, booster club memberships. It's a lot of work, and it takes about 10 months.
Yeah, so for like the ding-dongs like me in the stands, it's a summertime thing. For you guys, it's basically a year-round, I don't know if I'll call it a job for you, but a stressful hobby, perhaps.
That's probably the best way, and that's a good group. I mean, Jim and John and Rodberg and Matt and Marine and I'm leaving a lot of people out, but they do a great job, and they all tend to, take their bits and pieces and, go call on these people or go line this up. Tara Thompson, I think, has the worst job getting – I shouldn't say it's the worst job. It's probably the most time-consuming and difficult job is getting host families for players to stay.
So, I mean, it's a big ask. You're asking –
it's a huge ask.
You're functionally asking a family that may or may not have kids to welcome functionally a complete stranger into their home. What I think is just, tremendous, that says a lot about, A, the host families and the players that you bring to town, is that – almost all of the host families I know of have come back to host again and maintain contact with their player.
There is a lot of repeat host families, and the connection that's are made is probably part of the neatest, stories, because they'll follow them. They'll go to weddings and graduations and you name it. They'll go watch them play baseball if they're still playing the next season or so on and so forth. It's really truly a lifelong connection.
And you see that in a lot of different, unrelated, but similar type things. You get lifelong connections from, say, like RagBri hosts, when people host a RagBri group and they spend the night at your place and you talk to them 30 years later, except this is a lot more intimate. You build much closer relationships. Right. We started talking about it a little bit, and I kind of steered you off course.
No, you're fine.
Let's talk about staff here. What's the coaching staff shaping up to look like? Who do you got?
So Doug Barker is going to be our head coach. Doug is an assistant at John Wood Community College, and our assistant is Scott Anderson. He is a high school coach from Illinois, also out in the suburb of Chicago. So he's really just wanted to coach high school baseball kids. This was his opportunity. So he talks about, I don't know if this is the end of my career at high school or this is just going to be the next step or what. But two good guys. They put together a good team. It's been difficult. We've had a lot of injuries here the last week, and a couple players dropped out. So we've kind of had to they've had to scramble. Thank goodness they recruit the team. So we're still filling some players, but we'll get there. We still got 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, there has been times where I swear you've added people to the roster the day of opener.
We have. Yep.
Another neat thing about the merchants roster that people may not be aware of is you draw players from not just around the country. There have been many not U.S. After their names in terms of country of origin.
Yeah, that's the other neat part about the merchants. They come from all over the United States. They come from Canada. We've had a player from Hawaii, Japan, the Dominican Republic, all over. And the connections there, and to see the interactions, like, that's the other thing. It's the host family and their player, their interaction, but how those young men gel, because they're thrown together, and about 3 days later, they're playing their first game.
And that's for those who haven't played sports, that's challenging to get on the same page that quickly, and to put together the level of play that they have is pretty remarkable.
They do. It's amazing. You know, the first couple games, you can kind of see, it's like, oh boy, that wasn't quite as smooth as it could have been on the field or whatever. But you know, you get through three or four games in a road trip, and they figured out who each other are and what they can do. And the coach is the same way, because they haven't seen them play. They've watched a little video, or
they may have been in town for 72 hours before the first time they play in front of their quote home field.
Yeah.
Basically an away game for them at home for maybe a week or so.
Yeah. And they walk out there that first night, and hopefully we'll have 600-700 fans there. And they'll be like, that's the other, you know, awe-striking moment for them. It's like, wow, this is a great field. And this could be some of the biggest crowds they play in front of, because some of those colleges don't draw a lot of people, a lot of moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and girlfriends that come watch their player, and that's it. So,
and so you've got a diehard group of fans in Carroll, in the surrounding area. Typically, you average, even on a weeknight, maybe 400 to 500, which in every league that the Merchants have played, as long as I've been aware of them, Pioneer, Corn Belt, now the Mink, puts them near the top or at the top of every one of those leagues in terms of fan bases.
Correct. You know, St. Joe, St. Joe's 50 plus thousand people there, and they draw between 3,000 and 5,000 down there on a night, but that's a different market, you know. So Carroll, 10,000 people, we get an average of about 500 fans a night. The community support's amazing. And it's from 2 to 92, because it's from the little kids really like the merchants, their parents, to those that are, you know, more elderly. It's like, we remember coming down here when we were young. And this is just a way, and they love baseball, and they still like to come to Merchants Park.
I mean, baseball has always been almost a generational sport. I mean, I just think of watching my family, painfully, a bunch of Notre Dame fans. But I remember watching, there was a big sigh there if you couldn't hear it. I remember watching I'm not a Notre Dame fan by any means, but I remember watching Notre Dame as a kid at my grandparents' house, all my aunts and uncles watching, you know, that type of thing. Baseball, even more so. Let's talk a bit as well about, I think, the quality of entertainment for the dollar. I mean, it's bang for your buck when it comes to Merchants baseball.
Gate price is $5. 12 and under are free. So you can come out and cheap admission. The concession stand, Robin does a great job there with, you know, a good product, good hamburger for an inexpensive price. You can come have a cold beverage, adult beverage. Again, $5 there for a nice frosty beverage.
Which is crazy, by the way. Crazy. If you've been to a major league, when's the last time you were at a major game?
It's probably MLB. Three years ago,
Last time I was there, let's just say I was much less gray than I am now. I think I paid $18 for a beer at that park.
You wouldn't have very many.
Oh, I mean, I did, but my bank account didn't appreciate it. Yeah. Beside the point, though, just overall, that's been a focus for the merchants, of course, behind the scenes, is we want this to be a fun, accessible opportunity for locals to get out to.
Yeah, we try to keep it affordable for everybody, and I think everybody does that from the gate to the beer stand to the concession stand. For us, it's really a net zero game. We don't want to go in the hole by any means, or else Merchants baseball doesn't exist. But we don't want to, you know, overcharge and have a huge bankroll either. But baseballs are expensive. Transportation's expensive. It's just cost of doing business a little bit, too.
Yeah, but the goal is not to pad the retirement account here. No, the goal is probably be functional so we can have a season next year.
Yep.
And which clearly has worked. We haven't actually talked about it. Is this year 8 or year 9 for the Merchants?
So this is year 5 for the Merchants in the Mink League. And then we played 4 years in the Corn Belt Pioneer League kind of combo. So 9 years since the restart with a couple years off for COVID.
Yeah, we don't count those. Those years don't count. Those are mulligans back to back. So would this be the 10th year then?
Ninth. This would be our ninth season.
So we're going into the ninth. Okay, yep. Gotcha. So this will be your fifth in the Mink.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So looking back, we talked about this a little bit beforehand. Something that was really neat, I know you guys were excited when you guys got into the Mink, is just the quality of ball that gets played there. I think it's really remarkable. It's kind of tough to do and look back and say like, oh, what are these people doing now? You've got players that have been drafted. You've got coaching staff that are now working for major league organizations. This is certainly not the end point for a lot of players, but definitely a stepping stone for many.
Correct. It's always fun to see. You always look at those players like, yep, that kid's going somewhere. Where you really don't know, because it's sports and it's athletic, and it's baseball. But we've had players that have been drafted into the MLB. Now, have they made it the bigs yet? No, but I think they've got a chance. We've had coaches that have coached with us or played with the Merchants and have gone on to get professional coaching jobs with colleges. We'll talk about Bryce Berg was an assistant back in 2016 when our first year, works for the Twins. So it's really fun to see those players move and kind of move on. And a lot of them, I stay in touch with some of them, not all of them because there's so many, but the coaching staff and I are probably a little bit closer than some of the players just because of our interactions. It's like, well, they're moving on and moving up, which is great to see.
And before we move on here, it's tough. I'm going to run a little bit long. It's so much is going on with the Merchants. They do things with the community. There's private events, public events, camps, things along those lines. Where are the best places for a fan or potential fan to stay in touch with CM Baseball?
The Merchants, of course, heavy on social media. We've got some great interns this summer kind of stepping that game up with Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, I believe, which I'm not on. Coverage, of course, with our local media outlets. So those are the best sources, most up to date. So.
And anything else you wanted to add, Chris, before I let you go? Other than remind people where opening day.
4:00, Memorial Day, Merchants Park. Come out, enjoy some great baseball. Going to be 85 degrees, going to be perfect day for some outdoor activity and Merchants ball.
And if I don't see you at the ball game, you can help the Legion pick up flags at the Carroll City Cemetery. Pick one or the other. There is no third option. But hey, thanks, Chris, for your time.
Thanks, Nathan.